Summary: a vacuum for postmodernism to fill. Speaking of the post-Kuhn era in Anglo-American philosophy, historian of philosophy John Passmore has stated flatly and accurately, quote, "The Kantian revival is so widespread as scarcely to lend itself to illustration," unquote. The various analytic schools began with Kant's conclusion that metaphysical questions were unanswerable, contradictory, or meaningless nonsense to be set aside. Philosophers were then urged to retreat to conceiving of their discipline as a purely critical or analytical enterprise. As part of that enterprise, some early analytic philosophers sought universal and necessary structural features in grammar and logic. But with no external metaphysical basis for language and logic, they retreated further to the subjective and the psychological. Once there, they found that the subjective and the psychological were highly conventional and variable, and so they felt forced to conclude that language and logic not only have nothing to do with reality, but are themselves conventional and variable. Then arose the question of the status of science. Analytic philosophers had, for whatever reasons, decided that they liked science, and so had picked its concepts and methods to analyze. But now they had to ask, as Paul Feyerabend urged them to ask, why is science special? Why not analyze theology's concepts and methods, or poetry's, or witchcraft's? Having abandoned discussion of truth as a useless metaphysical speculation, analytic philosophers could not say that science's concepts were truer or that science's method was special because it gets us closer to truth. The analytic philosophers of the 1950s and 1960s were only able to say that science happened to push their personal value buttons. So now we ask the question of value. If the basis for the study of science is one's personal value buttons being pushed, what is the status of personal values? On questions of value, by the middle of the century, the Anglo-American tradition had concurred with the continental. Again, the conclusions reached by the analytic tradition were highly subjectivist and relativist. Accepting the divorce of facts from values that dated back to Hume, most philosophers concluded that expressions of value are neither objective nor subject to reason. Summarizing the state of the profession in the middle part of the century, Brian Medlin wrote that, quote, "It is now pretty generally accepted by professional philosophers that ultimate ethical principles must be arbitrary," unquote. Their arbitrariness could be rooted in sheer acts of will, or in social conventions, or, as argued by the leading logical positivists, subjective emotional expression. Having reached these conclusions about knowledge, science, and values, the Anglo-American intellectual world was ready to take seriously Nietzsche and Heidegger.